Now, let's go and have a look at the next story we have here for you. A very important conversation while this morning on this edition of the Miraya Breakfast Show. And now, this morning, we are now having an interview with the newly appointed deputy chairperson of the high-level ADO committee on the implementation of the Revitalized Peace Agreement, a committee that was just reconstituted last week on June 4th.
With South Sudan's political roadmap facing new hurdles, many are asking, what difference will this new committee make this time? And how do they plan to guide the country towards lasting peace and credible election?
Well, I had a conversation with Lasoba, and he shared with me the committee's plans to help lead South Sudan to the general election scheduled for December 2026.
This is a great opportunity for the people of South Sudan to know that we had been having some challenges in the implementation of the Revitalized Agreement on the Resolution of the Conflict of the Republic of South Sudan. And since March, the month of March, April and May, we have been trying to ensure that we put this agreement on the first track so that we move the people of South Sudan forward to ensure that we implement the agreement, and then we go for elections. There are challenges that happen, of course, from us, particularly from the IO side, the SPLM IO. We have the chairman who is detained, and then we have called for his release. Since then, of course, the fact that he's under house arrest, we still believe that it should not impede the implementation of the peace agreement, because the peace agreement is not an individual agreement, but then it is a party, and a number of stakeholders are involved in it, and it is actually about the lives of the people of South Sudan. So we thought that's important to continue to ensure that the key provisions of the agreement are implemented, and then people go for elections so that we choose leaders whom the people think can serve them better. We have the high-level ad hoc committee, which was reconstituted to ensure that it facilitate the process of the implementation of the key provisions of the agreement, which were not implemented, and to ensure that we check the people of South Sudan from this time towards the elections in 2026. So His Excellency the President reconstituted the committee, and I'm so glad that we are preparing right now to have an introductory meeting with all the members to see what exactly we can be able to do based on the terms of reference which were articulated very clearly in the decree.
Thank you. All right. We want to understand, Honorable Minister, what is it that the committee is going to do different this time around? You know, there has been a high-level committee on their own, and there is also the National Transitional Committee. So looking at this current committee, I mean, what is it that it will come out different from this committee so that people can actually see light in the peace agreement implementation?
Well, one of the critical challenge of the agreement is the implementation of each chapter, which is stipulated in the agreement itself. You know, chapter one, we've been implemented basically with some few items that are remaining. We have one critical chapter, which is chapter two, which is concerning the security arrangement. And the security arrangement has been one of the cornerstone in as far as the agreement is concerned. And we wanted to ensure that we have the unification of all the forces so that we distance the forces, the army from politics. So that is basically the main objective. If you look into the terms of the reference that were read out from the decree of the president, it says that this high-level ad hoc committee will perform all tasks to ensure that the agreement is implemented, except Chapter 2. This is because we have already the NTC, the National Transitional Committee, which actually its main responsibility is to ensure that Chapter 2 is implemented. So that's why that task was taken out from the high-level committee. Now, the high-level committee will ensure that we effectively implement the remaining chapters of the agreement. That's one task that is given to us. The second task is to ensure that we coordinate with the electoral institutions and the RGMEC as well, in all the political parties to the agreement, to ensure that we all come together to make sure that all the activities that are related to the elections in 2016 are accomplished in time. And then also ensure that we rally support from the regional, the international, and the partners that are in support of the peace agreement to come together and draw a roadmap so that we ensure that we have everything in place and get the people to elections in 2026. The most critical and difficult part is actually resource mobilization, which is given also to this committee. And I think this is the reason why a number of people have concern about why the implementation of the peace agreement has taken all these many years up to this time without success. So this also is given to the high-level committee to ensure that we work with the Ministry of Finance and then partners who are willing to support this implementation of the peace, and so that we can be able to mobilize enough resources that are needed for the implementation of peace agreement.
Honorable, thank you so much. But one thing that actually caught my attention so much is when you said this committee will implement all the chapters, exception of Chapter 2 that talks about the security arrangements, which you said is actually under the NTC. I was coming to ask if this committee is actually replacing the NTC itself. But now, because you have spelled this clearly, don't you think there will be conflicts in terms of the implementation of these mechanisms that are stipulated in the agreement when two bodies are actually involved, the NTC and this new committee?
No, I think there's no contradiction, because one thing is that the high-level implementation, the high-level committee, which was previously, which now is reconstituted, previously, it did not look into the lifespan of the committee itself. But then now it has become very clear that the high-level committee will ensure the implementation of the peace agreement and all the provisions that are articulated in the agreement from this time up to the end of the agreement. So the NTC has a specific role, which is confined to the Chapter 2, which is security arrangement. So Chapter 2 will not be able to take many months and all that. So it will come to an end as soon as possible.
But take a look, like if the security arrangement is not met within a specified period of time, and the agreement gradually comes to an end, much as you implement the other chapters, but security arrangements remains having some ups and downs, what will happen?
I think there's been the biggest challenge with the security arrangement has been the issue of funding, and we wanted to ensure that this issue is addressed. And from the perspective of the new arrangement, we believe that we are going to ensure that the security arrangement is actually completed within a short period of time, because there's no way we can go for elections with the two different forces, two or three forces with that pay different allegiances to different commanders and all that. So we wanted to ensure that we have one unified force, a unified force that will be able to defend the territorial integrity of the Republic of South Sudan and the people of South Sudan. That's important. Mm.
All right. I would like you to talk to us about the criteria that was used to select the members of this new committee, especially the SPLMIO. And How do you personally justify your appointment given the internal disputes within the party?
Within the party, it's important to know that when we had the crisis, the Nasser crisis in March, which led to the detention of the first vice president, we took a bold decision to make a press statement calling for the release of the first vice president, His Excellency. And then we also ensured that we wanted to take the promise that His Excellency, the first vice president, made it very clear that whatever happens, the peace agreement must continue, must hold. So we made that very clear that the peace agreement must hold, and then we are ready to ensure that it continues, even if with all the challenges that we have faced. Now, some of our members ran away, and we could not be able to access them. Others have actually self-exiled themselves to other countries, and particularly the deputy who is supposed to be in charge, but then he self-exiled himself because of fear, I don't know, whatever happened. And a number of them. For that reason, the NLC, the National Liberation Council for the SPLM-IO, set and established the interim leadership. So the interim leadership, since then, had been working closely with the partners of the agreement to ensure that the agreement hold, and then we actually ensure that there's peace and stability, which is very crucial for the people of South Sudan. Now, in terms of the recomposition of this high-level committee, there were members actually that were previously there, but then others are in detention, and then others have run away. They have self-exiled themselves from the country. So we actually did the replacement. And the replacement, of course, how it is done and all that, it's supposed to be based on the, you know, that there's percentage usually. Mm-hmm. So this is also one of the concerns that we have raised. We actually had some meeting before, and I raised that concern to see some explanation into that. But that is not a big problem. The big problem is that we have this high-level ad hoc committee, which is given a serious task to ensure that we implement the remaining provisions of the agreement so that people move to elections.
All right. That brings me to a question of asking. Honorable, are you optimistic there will be elections in 2026?
I'm very optimistic that elections will have to happen, and there's no any other way other than ensuring that we work towards ensuring that we have elections 2026. And you cannot have election 2026 without the constitution, the permanent constitution. And then right now, we are in the process of ensuring that we have the permanent constitution. And then the other electoral institutions must be given chances, must be given funded to ensure that they prepare themselves. We have now a very short period of time, a year and some months and all that. So we need to ensure that actually people go to for election.
It may not be necessarily the matter of ensuring people go for elections, but ensuring what's actually supposed to be done to guarantee elections to be conducted freely and also very credible. You talked about a constitution and other mechanisms or structures or electoral related institutions that should be actually in place, or that should produce what is expected of them to ensure elections is conducted. One major thing, like you have cited, has often been the issue of funding. And is the government ready to fund its own institutions, if not necessarily depending on funding from the partners?
Well, you know, in as far as the committee is concerned, this is our responsibility now. We are given responsibility to ensure that we work with the institutions of finance, particularly the Ministry of Finance in the government, to ensure that these activities are funded. Now, if they are not funded, and all that is another thing that I cannot say for the time being, but then this is a task that is given to us, and we are taking it very serious.
All right. When we talk about elections, we are also talking about the security of the country. There are a lot of clashes in several parts of the country. How do you think elections can be conducted with this security vacuum?
We have the elections are scheduled according to the agreement in 2026. So we have over a year to ensure that these differences and all that are resolved. In general, what we wanted to ensure is that we have community clashes in some of the parts of the country, which is very alarming and all that. But we have seen also the government proactive role in terms of trying to reduce that. And we are hoping that within short period of time, these clashes will be able to be reduced, and we can address the root causes of some of the problems that cause these reactions.
Yeah. So, Honorable, I would like also to understand from a scale of, your working relations with the Reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission as a committee now, given the current political landscape.
What we call the RJMAC is very crucial in terms of implementation of the peace agreement, and we will now, in the process of, once we have our first initial introductory meeting, we will now get to engage with the RJMAC to explain to them how we see the next activities that are required to ensure that we get to the elections on time. So that I think this will come within a short period of time when we establish ourselves and then engage with the partners that are signatory to the agreement.
Mm. And one of your roles actually engaging the international partners with the recent developments particularly. So including the reported arrest of Dr. Machar, the SPLMIO chairman, and the ongoing conflict in some parts of the country or in some regions of the country, how do you now plan to build trust and also credibility in this scenario?
You know, building trust, particularly in the situation that we have gotten ourselves in, is not an easy thing, but it's a process. It's a process. And one thing for sure I have to tell all our audience and you in person is that the steps that we have taken has salvaged the country from a complete chaos and disaster. When the interim leadership was formed, it was basically to salvage the country from a chaos that was unfolding. So for the time being, as we are, if you can see from Juba specifically and also other towns and all that, there's calm, there's actually calm. So we are positive with that. We're very happy with that. But then we now need to move step ahead to ensure that in the areas that experience some confrontation between the different forces, we need to reduce that. We need to reduce that. But of course, that will come when the population see that we have developed some confidence among ourselves as partners from within the agreement. So if that will be seen from our engagement, and I think that will be the only way we can do to reduce some of the tensions.
Many civil society activists and also actors are actually calling for a broad, inclusive national dialogue to address the current political challenges in the country. So is this something your committee is open to supporting?
Well, the issue of the national dialogue depends, because we had already the national dialogue which was conducted. There was a committee which was formed and then came up with the report. But there was also, I can recall, there are people from other groups outside that have also called for what they call a national dialogue or a round table discussion and all that, so that they address the root causes of the problem. But for us, we believe that, when you look at the agreement itself, if it is well implemented in letter and spirit, the disagreement actually address the root causes of the problems, because it ranges from security arrangement into ensuring that we have transparent and accountable use of the resources, the public resources, ensuring that we have a federal constitution so that we have a federal system of government that had been the dream of the people of South Sudan for decades. And finally, we should be able to have judicial reforms and all that, and then also ensuring that we have accountability in terms of what happened before in the crisis and all that. So at the end, we say after all this, and then we have to to give power to the people to choose their leaders, and then that's when we can be able to now ensure that we have a free, democratic, and a prosperous society in the Republic of South Sudan. So I think it is the issue of the dialogue and all that is something that's an ongoing. It is something that will continue in the process. If there's anything that needed to be discussed, definitely the committee is ready to discuss and see how we can get that forward. But the truth of the matter is that the situation that we have currently, it requires all of us to stand that we renounce violence, we wanted peace to continue, and this peace can only persevere when all of us are committed to see that South Sudan is our own country, and whatever we do, we have to ensure that it is for the good, for the benefit of the people of South Sudan.
People always say that if you want to put an end to something in South Sudan, you form a committee. Several committees have been formed and the results have not been seen. Don't you think this is going to be an example as well in regard to the ADHOC committee here?
No, this is completely different because this is in regards to the implementation of the peace agreement, and it is actually the constitution of different parties to the agreement that are meant to ensure that specific tasks of the agreement are implemented to allow the people of South Sudan to prepare for election. So it is completely different from the other committees which are formed for investigation and all that, and that is a different thing. So people of South Sudan must know that this high-level committee is completely different from the other committees that people expect.
All right. Any other message, something you might need to pass to the people of South Sudan, a message as such?
The people of South Sudan, I really wanted to thank all the people of South Sudan for being resilient and taking into account the challenges that they go through. I feel so sometimes challenging when I see the people of South Sudan go without salaries, without payments and all that, and then the financial situation is very difficult. And I feel that if in this kind of situation, if we add war into it, we add conflict into it, and then that means we're actually destroying the country. So with this kind of situation that we are in, we need to ensure that we have peace in place. We try as much as possible to ensure that we bring everybody on board and we take this country for elections. And let us preach peace and stability so that all of us can be able to prosper, and all of us can be able to ensure that we have a peaceful South Sudan for every generation that will come.